So I have several items here this morning that I want to show you. It's hard for you guys to see. You true Presbyterians are all the way in the back, so you probably don't be able to see any of this. So I'll describe them. This is a gold ring with three set diamonds. Now, as my daughter calls these diamonds, these are bling. Okay? But not much bling, but some bling. But it's a 14 karat gold men's ring with three inset diamonds. This is a simple ruby cufflink. Nothing spectacular, not much to it at all. This is simply a small chain. Many people would wear it as a necklace. It's a gold interlock link chain. Nothing too spectacular about it. Very simple. And this is a Seiko watch. Very simple in its making. Blue face, gold inlay in the band. Expanded band, nothing major. These are four intricate pieces of simple jewelry. So I ask you this morning, what do these things mean? And do they perhaps, do you perhaps here this morning know what they represent? To the majority of you, they are simple and plainless. They mean nothing. They're simply an old watch, an old gold ring, an old cuff link, and a gold necklace. Likely they mean nothing more to you than maybe even dispensable property. Let's take them to the pawn shop and see what we get. However, to me this morning, they are extremely rare. They're valuable, and quite frankly, they're priceless. You see, these items belong to my dad. Every time I see them and I am reminded of his life, basically for the exception of some photos and a few other items that were probably inappropriate to bring this morning, such as his gun collection and his Polaris Ranger, these are the things that I have by which I remember my father and our life together. So I want to take you back 21 years and 7 days. We're going to go back in history 21 years and 7 days ago. And when I do that, you are 7 days away from the 9/11 tragedy in 2001. And if I fast forward us to 21 years and 7 days to our present moment, you still can tell me where you were and what you were doing on that tragic day in New York. As I reflected on our message last week and tried to come up with something to speak about that was truly prevalent in our lives, I could not help but to think about those that were left behind on that fateful day in September 2001. Every time I tried to move on to speak about something else this morning, it kept coming back. So I finally took the Lord's direction, and I want to talk about it this morning. You see, no matter who you are or where you've been, all of us in some form or fashion want to, try to, and likely will leave something behind for either our siblings, our children, and our grandchildren. The question remains this morning, what will you leave behind? Money? Estates? Homes? Cars? Boats? Tangible assets, what will you leave behind? Will you leave your memories? Maybe things that happened to you on special occasions, vacations, holiday moments, special out-of-the-blue things that happened in your life with your children, your grandchildren, and your brothers, and your sisters, and your parents. Will you leave that behind? How about a lecture that your mom and dad gave you, a good one or a bad one? How about your lectures you gave your kids good or bad? Will you leave those behind? How about hard work and a work ethic? Will you leave that behind to our children who are represented here this morning? I have many memories of my dad. But one memory I have of my dad was that he was extremely lovingly devoted to taking care of Mom and I. He worked hard and he worked a lot. Dad was a terminal manager for most of his life, and his profession was interstate logistics. Dad was also a licensed over-the-road, long-haul truck driver. To say Dad was busy was an understatement, or is an understatement. And to say Dad was gone from home a lot is also an understatement. It was nothing for my father to take a 2 a.m. phone call in the middle of the night, and within 35 to 45 minutes, he would leave and be gone most of the week, sometimes through the week. As I spent time this weekend or week reflecting on the days and years that have followed, I was blessed to recall great memories and events that were given to me by my mom and my father, my grandparents on both sides, my uncle, and unfortunately, sadly but true, some of my friends who have gone on way too soon in their youthful lives. But the memories all the same were good. As I pondered all that life and what God has brought me through them, I couldn't help but to think that hopefully something that I have said or done in my life will have blessed others and impacted their lives as much as my family and my friends have impacted me. You know, tomorrow is not promised, and there is nothing to say that we cannot depart this world in a split second like the heroes did on 9/11. Friends, we should strive to live in a way that will leave behind some great things. You know, every boat that travels on a lake makes a wake in the water. What will your wake look like as you travel the lake of life? Memories are things we cherish, and they certainly represent our life's work and what our wake looks like. Some memories are positive, and some memories that we have are spiritual. But most of our memories are bound and wrapped up in one beautiful thing called love. I want you to think about your life this morning. I want you to think about where you've been, where you are, and where you wish to travel. You see, you're like the Israelites. You're encamped, and you're trying to get to the promised land. And you're going to need a miracle. We're all going to need a miracle. The difference between us and the Israelites of that year is that we have the atlas. We have the road map that gets us there. Think about the legacy that you will leave behind and you can leave behind when you know the way. Do you guys know what our greatest job is? Actually, we all have the same profession, and we all serve in the same position. Our greatest job is simply to serve Christ Jesus. That's our primary mission in life. This is a profession that embodies hard work, dedication, discipline, faith, love, mercy, grace, and our overall goal is to please God in our work. That's all our goal is. Our lives are representations of His faith in us and our immense faith in Him. Our mission and goal from this day forward should be to leave this world when God calls us home with no spiritual stone left unturned, even the ones found in the rivers of life we have forged. God is calling you to seek and find your calling and to work to make your life a good one. You see, as you journey and travel and float in the lake of life, you form a wake. And as a Christian, that wake should refresh those around you. That wake should spread the gospel to the world. That wake should be endless, even long after you have gone. You see, we serve God every day, and in His lake of life, in the life that we lead this day, we have no wake-free zones. We provide a place. We share the gospel, whether we are on the dock or we're in the middle of the lake. Our wake, what we do, is important to God. In the reading this morning, we read out of the book of Joshua. God brought the Israelites to the banks of the Jordan River at a time when He could miraculously demonstrate His power. The miracle happened during the harvest time when the river was filled and overflowing out of its banks. The priests bearing the ark came to the water's edge and stepped forward. One step. Scripture declares one step they placed in the one foot into the Jordan River. And look at the miracle that happened. It was one step, and the waters parted like a huge wake in the River Jordan, and the people crossed over onto dry land through a dry river bed. Much like the Red Sea, God brought His people through a crossing that they could not undertake on their own strength. We have all heard the quotation, "If God leads you to it, He will lead you through it." It simply requires us to take one step. Here's your takeaway today, if I haven't given you one already. Every big act for God begins with one small step of faith. A faith of a mustard seed. If I held a mustard seed in the palm of my hand today, friends, you, where you sat, none of you, even Wade on the front pew, could not see it. The faith of a mustard seed. One step. In the reading this morning, Joshua wanted the people to remember their entrance into the promised land. That's why he asked each of the 12 tribes of Israel to choose a representative. That's also why he asked each representative to choose a stone from the Jordan River. These stones were used to build a monument. It was a memorial to the significance of the people crossing the Jordan and entering the promised lands. I want to talk a moment about memorials just for a second, but I also want to invite you to the Word of God. You too, as the children do, have some homework. I want you to finish chapter 4. You will begin to read beyond where I stopped. And you will find out that not only did Joshua have 12 people from the tribes of Israel bring 12 stones out to the shore to build a monument, Joshua himself went into the Jordan River where the Ark of Covenant was placed and the wall of water was being held back by it, and built a monument itself. And in Scripture this morning, and as you will read, Scripture tells you that monument still stands in the middle of the Jordan River. You see, memorials and keepsakes, like I shared with you this morning that are on the podium, are hugely important. They help us preserve our memories. God memorialized many important things and events in the Old Testament. He built two monuments that day at the city of Jericho in the Jordan River. The stones were to be a memorial and a reminder to future generations that the people of Israel crossed the Jordan because of God and not because of their own ability. That is a lesson we must learn this morning. Our memorials of life, including ourselves, are built because of God's influence in our lives, not because of our own ability. There are times in our own lives that God does not want us to forget a thing. How will you remember these events? Here's the simple truth of today, however. Some people do their best to live in the past. They want to return to the good old days, quote unquote. The problem is that the good old days usually weren't as good as people thought they were. They had their value, but we must not dwell in them, but learn from them. Cherish those memories and strive to do better from those memories. On the other hand, what is really scary is other people want to change everything. They always look to the future. In doing so, they wish to change the past. In recent years, we have rewritten our past. This, friends, is very dangerous. If you forget where you have been, not only will you struggle with where you are going, you will repeat what you have already done. Both views this morning mentioned involve us escaping into an unrealistic world and trying to live outside of the world we live in. We struggle in this world as Christians. We try to rationalize what is going on, and sometimes we can't, but it is our time. It is our world by which we live in. Let me tell you what the Bible says. The Bible tells us that we are to live in the present and claim God's memory and struggle for today. And struggle we do. In Joshua chapter 4, presents the dynamic truth that the hope of the future is based on the memories of the past. And this hope gives meaning to the present and the future. As Christians, these are our marching orders. This is what we are to do. Life today, as it is presented, will give us hope. That hope is for the future. A future based on the memories of our past, specifically the memory of what God has done for us in the past. That hope also presents us this day what God does for us this very moment together here in this place. And it also represents what God will do for us in the future, what He has promised for us, what He has already built for us. You see, just like the Israelites, God brought us a miracle to take His people to the promised land. He too will bring us many miracles to get us home to the promised land. Remember what the Lord left us before He ascended into heaven. He left us a special gift, did He not? One by which to remember Him by, one by which we are to use right now, and one that provides us hope every day of our lives. Friends, the hope of the future is based on the memories of our past, and this hope gives us meaning to the present. God has given us all we need. Cherish where you've been. Don't rewrite it. Don't change it. Don't ignore it. Cherish where you've been. Cherish where you are. Don't change it. Don't try to rewrite it. Live in it. And cherish where you are. And finally, cherish where you're going. Because eternity in the promised land built by God is far greater than anything you can ever imagine. Don't try to rewrite it. Don't change it. Live for it. Seek it, and ye shall find it. Again, Jesus left us two things. These two things are the atlas and the roadmap to our lives this morning. The Holy Spirit, obviously, is the one. It dwells within us. It gives us hope for tomorrow, hope for today. And it helps us to understand our past. The second is the Holy Bible. You know the way because you study the roadmap. I go back to my takeaway. Every big act for God begins with one small step of faith. That step is your responsibility this morning. You have to do two things. Seek and understand and accept the gift of the Holy Spirit. Look and find the directions found in Holy Scripture. Open both of these and make your wake in the lake of life. Leave no spiritual stone unturned, so that when you pass, we too will gather stones and build your monument. Remember, God loves you. He has already provided your way. Open the Word. Live in the Word. Share in the Word. Give the Word. And spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is your mission. It's your profession. It's what you are called to do. Remember, the Israelites took one step into the Jordan River. It stopped flowing. You take one step into the ministry of Jesus Christ, and your life will ever overflow. Amen.